B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. I had a meal. I had a couple over at my house, I said.
I know
you
Fred.
You enjoying our company?
Fred's wife knows Fred.
Let's have a meal. And so I went, and it's funny because this friend of mine, he gets mistaken for Curt Schilling. I don't see a great resemblance.
Is there a worse person in Boston sports to get mistaken for than Curt Schilling?
He's in good shape, and he's not like a sloth like Schilling, but he just, like, his head kind of looks like Schilling, and I don't know, like he gets mistaken for him for a bit, but I was out to dinner with him, and someone thought he was Schilling, and started talking to him, which is not a good thing. But I did hear that Alex Cora has moved from his apartment in Chestnut Hill.
Well, I would too. I mean, you don't work here anymore.
Well,
I would say there's no reason to be here.
Well, a little birdie told me. That he has moved.
Has he cleaned out his suite like never before? I mean, like never before it's cleaned out. What if I told you that his suite was cleaned out like never before?
I don't want to tell you. I don't want to speak out of school. But he moved from... He had an apartment in Chestnut Hill now. Mm-hmm. Now the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
In a high rise. Mm-hmm. But he has moved out of that.
Did you hear that? So down at the old Wally Fest that they had this weekend, the winter greeting, whatever I don't know what the Red Sox jerk, you know, stroke fest. I don't know what it is. But everyone went down there and like they talked to. But it's great because there's this. You have this feel-good, happy thing with Wally balloons everywhere, and all anyone wants to talk about is, did your championship count? And so J.D. Martinez is sitting there, whereas he thought this was going to be like a meet and greet, take pictures of the kids, and he ends up getting this.
You know, it sucks. I'm going to be honest with you, it does suck. But you know what? I know I'm excited for the investigation to get over with, just so they can see that there was nothing going on here.
All right.
Well, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm starting really not to care about that. Just
I care as long as it brings down everybody else. Like, I just want to hear, because you saw that at the end of the last week, all the little buzzer things that were on everyone's shoulders. Like, I want to see how far spread this goes.
Well, the buzzer thing is interesting, but...
Oh, it's great.
I've stopped kind of reading about it. James, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, so what I was thinking is, you know, the Patriots, Tom Brady could be leaving, get kicked out of the playoffs. The Bruins, Celtics playing awful. The Red Sox got their stuff going on. Oregon fire potential cheating. Has there been a worse month, couple of months in Boston sports since Brady started here?
And I'll add to that.
Sure.
Sarge got the PA duties with the
that's not
revolution.
A bad thing.
You know, we just pile that onto
it.
I'm going to say that's the one good thing. So, you know, they can still say it's all good, baby, but everybody else has a problem.
Is this the worst month in Boston sports?
Okay, the Bruins are still in first place.
And the Celtics are still, like, a good team. It's just that, I mean, as I said, January, it's tough to judge anything having to do with hockey or basketball. The Bruins, it's becoming a little bit of a pattern. I'm more concerned about them right now. And I'm also concerned that from all the hockey they played at the end of that last year, that the beginning was just adrenaline, and it's starting to catch up to them.
They got 9 games off there. I mean, the reason that you don't worry about the Celtics is they're not going to win a championship.
Well, if they make a trade, they could. That's the only thing. They have to get a big man. And they have an excellent assembly of characters around somebody who needs to be able to defend Giannis Antetokounmpo. And just somebody who's able to go blow for blow. And I don't know if it means getting Drummond in here or making a move for Karl Anthony Towns.
I don't think if you have Drummond that you can beat Milwaukee.
I think it definitely gives you a better chance.
He's incredibly one-dimensional.
Yeah, but that one dimension is rebounds, and this team needs them.
Yeah, but he's not a franchise-changing player, as evidenced by the success of the Pistons.
They don't need him to be a scorer. They just need him to be a presence.
I understand that, but I think you're overvaluing him a little bit. Casey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to know your best napping techniques. I took an edible last night, but it's not last night. It's 4 in the morning here for me. And I woke up too early, but I want to get back to bed because I have a tea time at 11:30 tomorrow. So I wanted to know what your best techniques were for a little nap. Also, I played golf with a dude who sounded exactly like the guy from I Think You Should Leave, the car sketch.
Okay.
You know, he's like, I spent the whole time trying to just have him say stinky. He had no idea what I was getting at the whole time, like 18 holes of me just like trying to make this joke to a 68-year-old guy who spoke like him. I don't even know what accent that is, but that sketch is hilarious. Thanks, guys.
For taking an edible, you're kind of hyper right now.
Well, that, you know, if you take a sativa it can be a stimulant. A napping technique. Well, now we're talking. You know, you count sheep.
You should have recommended some of those ASMR videos that you like.
The ones where
people whisper.
And it makes you feel like a lot of times I'll go like, you know what, I'm going to watch porn. And then it turns out that I'm too lazy and I'll watch an ASMR video. But they can be frustrating because sometimes it works and sometimes it does not. Sometimes the ASMR works and sometimes it does not. Now, are you gentlemen aware of the feeling?
I am.
The okay. ASMR thing?
Yes.
I mean, listen, I've heard sounds that give me tingles, but I can't.
Yes.
That ASMR stuff creeps me out. I can't listen
well,
to it.
Well, it's not. I mean, there's a million different ASMR things. See, the way that I was introduced, the way I've known about ASMR before all these posers.
Mm.
Now, the way I was introduced to it is because remember when you used to watch The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross?
Yep.
And that you would, and then you found yourself hypnotized. By the way, no one could do those paintings. Like, he just rattles off a bunch of paints, like, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, I'll get that. Like, it's like...
it's just
like,
easy to follow.
Yeah, no. And he's like...
Do you actually think someone's at home with, like, a palette waiting for them? You know,
yes.
Waiting for Bob Ross?
I bet
there were. I bet there absolutely were.
I mean, he ran for, like, 38 years. So, what's frustrating, he's like... And then he'll go, oh, I just took this black acrylic... You know, blah, 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 paint, yeah. And before the whole thing, and just... And
honey,
just
where's the phthalo blue?
Yeah.
So, over here.
Yeah, so he, like, just rattles off these colors, and then he's like, oh, just mix them up.
That's right.
And then you're like, what?
That's right.
And this is like, who had a VCR during some of these
things? Get the old 2-inch brush and the phthalo blue.
Yeah.
We're going to make a sky.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what his technique looks easy enough. But the first like 30 seconds are like, here's everything you need.
You're already lost. Yeah, you have no chance.
Like, here's everything you need. And you're like, what?
That's right.
And like, because if you didn't tape it,
exactly.
There's no way to know.
Lord help you if you miss how they run all the colors at the bottom of the screen. Lord help you if you miss that.
There was no internet.
You're done.
You couldn't rewind the TV.
I know.
And so you were just living in a world where you would just have all these paints in front of you at your disposal,
you
and you
had
just
no
grab
chance.
Them.
And if you didn't know how to mix the colors to make the color that he was making,
he's just mixing them up.
And he knew what colors were coming.
I have no idea
what that means.
And when he says to mix them up,
that's right.
Like, it's not like, okay, now I'm going to take this and mix it with this. He's like, no, you just take the blend,
yeah.
And then you mix it up, and then you're like, what?
Make this pile, but we want to add a little orange here because we want it lighter. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, like the technique
yeah.
seems easy. But the whole idea of how he got it done, I mean, we're dealing with a half an hour to make a picture. Like you're speeding through everything.
I know.
Like, wouldn't you think that you would spend 10 minutes on what you need?
Now we're going to put a mountain and ruin everything we just did. We're going to put a mountain right here.
But that's easy. Like, that stuff's easy. He just takes the knife and
right.
makes the mountains. But I got no idea what the hell's going on with mm-hmm. the paint he's using.
Mm-hmm.
And who the hell had an easel like that? But anyway, so I was wondering, I'm like, I would watch this stuff, and I have no interest in painting. Did you know he was a member of the military, by the way?
Yes, I did, and he was stationed in Alaska. I read up about
him. And he said
yes.
that he would never yell again.
Yep,
he said
changed his hair. He never had that afro, and he never had that before, but changed everything once he got out of the, after he finished his service. He's like, I'm not going to be that guy anymore.
Yeah,
yes,
he said, I will never yell again. And so I was looking for that feeling, and I had found a website, and it was all unintentional. Which in a way is pure.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all intentional, but now there's a bunch of things that don't work. I don't like the tapping and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I like a male voice above a female voice, but I don't want to see the guy's face.
Yeah, that is a little weird. Yeah.
So, there you go. Why not? What's your name? Is it Michael?
Yeah, it's Michael.
M-I-K-E-L. All right, Michael.
Yeah, I'm just talking about you, Michael.
All right.
Hey, man, I've done one of those paintings before.
Bob Ross?
Oh yeah. When I was out in Las Vegas before I moved out here, I was injured and I was at home watching TV like that. And everybody tries to paint when you're freaking baked like that. But I ended up doing a snow skate mountain one that he did. And Fred, you're dead on, man. It is so hard to keep up with that pace that he's going at. It's almost like it's speed painting. I don't know how he does it.
No, I know. And it's the most important part is he just races through. And there was no internet. So it wasn't like you could just go look it up. I guess you would just have to have all this paint at your house. And that'd be what you did.
It's the same colors, I think, for most of the episodes. So I would think after you watch like five or six of them, you would know what colors. And
fair enough. Because it wasn't like white and blue.
Right, right.
There were subtle shades.
Right.
And
a lizard in crimson and, just weird, weird stuff. That, of course, every paint store had. Give me the Elizabeth Crimson, Phil.
I got a Ross to do. Like you're taking Polaroids of the screen.
I know, seriously. The guy at the paint store, and he always can tell a Ross guy because no one else asks for Phthalo Blue and Titanium White and Elizabeth Crimson. Oh, you're doing a painting today. Okay. Right over here, sir, in this corner of the shop.
Yeah. I mean, to knock one of those out in 30 minutes is no small feat. Well, we'll talk more about Bob Ross. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Touch her and up. This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy.
Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
35-24, Kansas City. 1:28 to go in the game. 4th and 6 for the Titans from their own 35. They snap it just in time to avoid a delay of game. Tannehill under pressure. Still moving to his right. Frank Clark chasing. Knocks him down. Tannehill goes down. Shark-infested waters. The Coast Guard gives the reef. Warning. Stay out of the water because Frank Clark, the shark, has just given Kansas City its first trip to the Super Bowl in 50 years.
Well, that was a really weird call.
He got lost in it.
I've never heard of him, Clark the Shark. First of all, that's a new name. And then in the middle of it, you're right, his brain kind of exploded.
He got lost in it. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies this weekend from Rafters, which I should be given credit for the name. The all-new members-only area on Level 9 at TD Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/rafters to learn about a Rafters membership.
I'll be there tonight for the Lakers game, as a matter of fact.
Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Howe, hello.
Hey, I've never appreciated Bob Soucy more.
That guy got a little excited and a little lost.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a major market. It's a bigger market than Boston, so what are you going to do? All right, Jeff, you heard the Jim Gray interview with Tom Brady. He's not a couch potato. He's more like a couch avocado.
That was not a good joke.
I don't know if you heard that joke. But the reality, do you see any way that Vegas would overpay him to such a degree that that would be an interesting destination for him?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few teams out there that have basically some monopoly money in terms of the cap room that they could use to offer Brady an unbelievable deal, like a deal that truly would be not believable. I mean, there are some teams out there, and I can't think of off the top of my head what Vegas's cap situation is, but
they have $63 million this year. I looked it up.
Well, there you go. And you could turn that, if you got $63 million this year, you could turn that into like a two-year $80 million, $90 million contract if you wanted to get really stupid. And then, I mean, but, like, amplify that with, like, Tampa, which has $88 million. And not that the Colts, I think, would be a realistic destination, but they have $93 million. Miami has $98 million. So there are teams out there that just have some absurd money that they could use to throw at Brady if they wanted to get really, really crazy.
I think the one, though, wild card in all this is Mark Davis. And we were talking about this morning. This is a guy that gave John Gruden 10 years, $100 million. Just when you run an organization like that where you just make bad decisions, or not bad decisions, but you just, I want that, I'll pay whatever for that. I just think out of all the teams that are out there that realistically would gratuitously overpay for Brady, it's got to be a Mark Davis run team, correct?
I mean, just whatever he pays for his haircut is an overpay. So, of course, he's going to do something crazy with his head coach, his quarterback. And if John Gruden doesn't think that Derek Carr is the guy, then, yeah, go shop and try to hit a home run with Brady.
Yeah, all right. So this is a pretty interesting Super Bowl in the fact that now you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, Bill Belichick's favorite quarterback, going to be starting in the Super Bowl this year. And I wonder, like, what's your opinion of Garoppolo as a quarterback? Because yesterday it was kind of funny. I mean, they ended up winning with him only throwing the ball 8 times, 6 receptions, 77 yards. But when you take a look at, like, the totality of his career with the 49ers, like, where do you think he stands as a quarterback?
He's done what he's needed to do, and I think it's a pretty good synopsis of what we saw of him in New England, in the sense that you knew the talent was there, and if he needed to throw, he could throw. If he needed to manage the game, he's capable of doing that. And then the one fear the Patriots always had with Garoppolo was he going to be an injury risk? And we've already seen him go down with a torn ACL in San Francisco. So I think it's not that you would ever predict a torn ACL or anything like that, but that was always the one fear, the one drawback of, all right, can he be a franchise quarterback? Yes, he can. Can he stay healthy? Well, I don't know. And to the degree that Brady has over the course of his career. So, I mean, I think it's their running game is so good. Their offensive line is really solid that he didn't need to throw it all over the place yesterday, which is surprising. And you know what? If the game played out differently, which is, I don't know, a weird hypothetical, I guess, but if he had to go throw for throw with Aaron Rodgers, I would think that Garoppolo would probably be the first guy to make the mistake, but he didn't have to do that yesterday. And the 49ers are such a well-built team that he's a cog in that machine. And I think, honestly, it's going to play out favorably for him in the Super Bowl, too, because I don't think Kansas City's defense is good enough to I think they're going to be susceptible to the 49ers' run game. You know, Garoppolo is going to be a more balanced quarterback than what you saw Ryan Tannehill against the Chiefs yesterday. So I don't know how much he's realistically going to have to throw against Kansas City, but if he does, I mean, again, I think he's more than equipped to be able to do it and, you know, have a Super Bowl winning performance.
Okay, watching these last two rounds of the playoffs, what have you learned about the Patriots and where they are right now and what they have to do to get to this level?
The offensive line needs to play better next season. They need more good fortune in the health department there too. They absolutely need at least one tight end, if not two. And that's a position that outside of Gronk, they largely ignored over the last decade. They hadn't drafted a tight end since the Gronk Hernandez draft in 2010, inside of the top four rounds, and they've drafted 3 guys, a fifth rounder, a sixth rounder, and a seventh rounder, and none of those guys have really panned out. And in terms of the free agent and trade route, outside of getting Martellus Bennett in 2016, they've just never had the depth. So now you're in a situation where you lose Gronk and you never really prepared yourself to get through that experience. And we saw what happens when you basically ignore one area of the depth chart for a decade this season. Defensively, and you know, the other thing I would say, I think they need to try to add more speed on offense. I mean, just the speed that Kansas City has is crazy, and there's a lot of speed at the skill positions in this coming draft, and I think the Patriots have to take a hard look at that, and I think that would honestly help Josh McDaniels have a better season too if you can start exploiting matchup advantages and talent advantages. I mean, that's something that Josh McDaniels is really good at. So if you give him more tools to play with, I think that would help him. And you know, again, I expect Brady to return. I think that would help his game as well. And then if you can have a top 10 scoring defense next year and you do address those two areas, tight end and wide receiver, and you get better luck on the offensive line then in terms of the health, then, you know, I think you're right back to where you need to be. I don't think the last 2 weeks of the playoffs has really solidified any feelings that we had of the Patriots. I think we learned all we needed to learn about them in weeks 17 and then the wild card round when, you know, the week 17 loss to the Dolphins was shocking, and they never should have lost that game. But I think what we saw against Tennessee was, okay, this team was an extremely flawed team, and we saw a lot of the mistakes that they made over the course of the season pop up in that 7-day stretch, and that's why they were home early.
What are you hearing about McDaniels and his future as a head coaching candidate?
I'm sure it's going to happen every year. Honestly, I think he's going to go through the same cycle every single coaching off season, and teams are always going to be interested. And
but no one really waited for him except for the Browns,
right? Yeah, and I don't know whether it was McDaniels telling the Browns that he didn't like the fit and the power structure, or the Browns just deciding they liked Stefanski more. But you're right, and Carolina wanted Rule clearly. I mean, we saw the contract they gave him, and then the Giants. It was surprising that Joe Judge was the head coaching candidate this quickly, but they really like Joe Judge. So we'll see if that how that plays out. But, you know, that was surprising. But, you know, teams are well within their rights to be hesitant of Josh McDaniels after what happened with the Colts a couple of years ago.
Okay, one last thing, because we were talking about Brady, but after – I mean, are the Titans going to keep Ryan Tannehill? Because that rumor about Brady possibly going to the Titans, I think, is an interesting one just because of the way the team is built, the way that, I mean, they made Ryan Tannehill look good in that offense. So if you're Tom Brady, you're probably going to wildly flourish, especially with that running game. And then you got the Mike Vrabel factor, being a friend of his. Are you, like, I think you were the one who, like, out of all the teams said that that one made the most sense. Are you still feeling that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that a lot a couple weeks ago, that I really think that Tennessee, if the Patriots, you know, don't step up and offer Brady the contract that would keep him out of free agency, I think Tennessee is absolutely the team that would make the most sense. And there's nothing that Ryan Tannehill did over the last 3 weeks that makes me think that he's a franchise quarterback. He's still absolutely the same guy that we saw in Miami for a handful of years. So if the Titans are going to pay him franchise quarterback money, I would disagree with that decision, and I think Brady would be a better option. Now, what would it say? The Titans have basically the same exact cap situation as the Patriots right now, so they could offer him the deal that Brady truly wants, and it's going to be a crazy game of chicken between the Patriots and Brady over the next 2 months. I mean, till March 17th, basically, is when the Patriots are going to have to get this thing done. If they allow Brady to get to free agency, they're going to incur a $13.5 million cap hit just in dead money in 2020, plus whatever they'd have to pay to retain Brady. So this is going to be, I really think this is going to be, are you going to get the deal done before free agency or not? And if it doesn't get done before free agency, I think the chances of Brady coming back would be greatly diminished. And if it gets to that point, and also by that point, Brady's going to know what his market is because the whole league tampers at the combine at the end of February. So Brady's going to know what types of offers he would have on the table. And then it's going to come down to, do I really want to move? Do I really want to start over at the age of 43? How much is the money really worth that? And then how aggressively do the Patriots move over the first couple weeks of March to make sure it doesn't get to that point? And so it really, for me, I mean, that's my opinion hasn't changed on the whole matter over the last few weeks or really over the last few months. It's none of the real estate, the kids and where they live and the wife and where she wants to live. None of that stuff truly matters to me. What really matters, in my opinion, with Brady and the Patriots and his future, and again, I do believe he will return, but what really matters is how the contract negotiations play out in the first couple weeks of March.
All right, there you go. Jeff Howell from The Athletic, thanks so much for the time.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we appreciate it.
If you're Titans ownership and you got that close to the Super Bowl. Like, you were right there. You had a 10-point lead at the beginning of the game, and you could taste it. Doesn't that give you even more of an incentive to say, go get that guy?
Makes sense. Makes sense in a lot of ways. They're not going to have a high draft pick to go get a quarterback, so makes a lot of sense.
You can't go into next year with Ryan Tannehill. If you were that close, you can't do it, and you have to make some sort of drastic move. This is not a time where you can bring in a young guy and train him to do it. It just makes all the sense in the world. And I was watching that game, and when it was over, I'm thinking, if you are that ownership, you right now are saying, this is our answer. Throw money at the problem. We need Tom Brady.
Yeah, some fool is going to give Tannehill a multi-year contract. Because, by and large, his regular season was very, very good.
Well,
I agree with Jeff. He's not a good quarterback.
Well, I read something interesting about Tannehill, because they say that how Gase ruined him. But Tannehill was a playoff quarterback, Gase's first year. And then Tannehill was hurt, basically, the last 2 years of that. This is from Samini, so this isn't someone who kisses the Jets' ass. So, in fairness, Tannehill is a playoff quarterback. Now, is he a franchise quarterback? No. I don't know why you're laughing.
I'm laughing because you hitched your wagon to Tannehill really a long time ago. And when you started this conversation, I'm like, oh, there's Fred on the Tannehill bandwagon again. That's all. That's what I was laughing
at. Well, all I'm saying is that you can't say that Gase ruined Tannehill.
Oh, okay.
It's because he had been hurt all that time. But no, I wouldn't give him that kind of money. And maybe you get the braid man in there, and you can watch him fall apart physically.
The thing is, the physical toll would be like a ton less with the Titans.
Yeah, well,
I mean, just hand it to Derrick Henry, have that good offensive line protect you.
Derrick Henry, I don't know how many more carries that guy's got.
He's got at least one more good year. And what's Brady going to play for him for two? So
Derrick Henry was falling apart at the end of that game. I mean, I don't know how many times that guy's career, I feel bad for him.
He just had, was it three over 200-yard games in a row?
No, that's what I'm saying.
At some point, your body's going to go, oh, my God.
Right, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, that was what was weird in the Patriots game. I'm like, how many times are we going to be able to give this guy the ball?
They said, just watch.
Yeah. And then at the end of that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's certainly better than Tannehill, but Brady's no sure thing anymore. I mean, if you bring Brady and I don't think Brady beats Kansas City in that game.
There's a better chance of them beating Kansas City.
Certainly, there's a better chance, but I mean,
and they were close already without Tom Brady. Yeah,
Kansas City,
they're awesome.
Kansas City is just—I mean, they can score in 5 seconds. You can run the ball and short passing game and da 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 da, and then Kansas City gets the ball, scores in 5 seconds. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub. This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Finally, Tom, you continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's only been a couple weeks, and I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process. At the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy it from my couch.
Couch potato, Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
Oh, Jim Gray, you're a delight. First of all, calling someone a couch potato is super cool. What, have you been reading Family Circus? Probably not a potato, more like an avocado. Yeah, because you don't like carbs. Anyway, that's good fat.
Oh, okay.
The avocado.
There's
Tom.
Tom? I mean, these interviews just can't be any more awkward. And
I know.
And you're right, Fred. I don't know when this ends. You would have thought that the interviews
it will never end.
It just keeps going.
Tom, answer the phone, Tom.
Tom, why are you ignoring me? Tom, I'm going to make you love me, Tom.
Tom, I'm at your front door, Tom.
There's a rabbit in your pot cooking right now, Tom.
That's right, Tom. We did it on a subway.
So I got to think with these two teams, there's no one rooting for Kansas City, right?
I am. Absolutely.
Why would you root for Kansas City?
I want Andy Reid to get a Super Bowl.
That might be the one reason. Outside of that.
And they're one of the most exciting teams I've ever seen.
Fred.
Appreciate it. I'll tell you what. It's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight for your right to party!
Well, that is a demerit. You can't root for that guy.
You can't root for
Kelsey.
You
cannot root
that.
For Travis Kelsey. There's 52 guys on the team.
You a big Tyreek Hill fan, are you?
Listen, he broke a kid.
Come on, Fred. I mean, I can list a ton of reasons why you shouldn't root for him.
I could list 100 reasons why you shouldn't watch football. I mean, they're all going to be crippled and get CTE.
I mean,
but I will tell you this. No, I want to see Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid, first of all, Andy Reid is an everyman.
I love Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, like I said earlier in the show, I've been told by someone who knows him, and it's not like, we're not going to know the person. And it's not someone, just someone that has a regular job. But Andy Reid, like, eats, like, two steaks, mm-hmm. like, at dinner. Like, he just, like, he's not fat, like genetically just fat. Like, he's, like fat, like, he eats, like, a lot.
And he owns his fat. Like, in this clip right here, talking about going to Miami.
Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes. So we can go do our thing, but very proud.
Plus, in every time that they do those coaches photos, mm-hmm. like, and they're somewhere warm, like, he just loves, he wears yeah. like a Hawaiian shirt.
He's got the extra large Tommy Bahama.
Yeah. And I like Andy Reid. I do. And he's got so screwed last year in that game that, Kelsey is an idiot, and that was one of the more douchey things you'll hear all year. And by the way, Tyreek Hill, so you don't misconstrue it, is not a good human being. I was joking around. But yes, John.
By the way, real quick, did you see the Onion article, Andy Reid furious itself for poor clock management at the end of a 72-ounce steak challenge? I mean, listen,
I don't think that would be an issue.
And Patrick Mahomes is obviously one of the more exciting players in football. And and then there's like the outside stuff. Although Fesco's head exploding might be kind of fun. The DJ out in Kansas City.
Yeah, Fesco, I don't care.
That might be funny. I got to be honest. I have seen the videos that everyone's been sending me of Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend. Yes, she's kind of annoying.
She's really annoying.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, not everyone's family members or girlfriends and stuff are perfect.
I would imagine most people's girlfriends are annoying.
Sure. Right.
Not to that degree.
But that's, I have seen those. But that's not one of the reasons that I'm going to be, you know, rooting for the 49ers in all of this. It's just that there's so many things that keep building up with Kansas City. And you know what? I like Kittle a lot. And every time Kelsey speaks, you just kind of want to punch the guy. He's getting more annoying as it goes on. As I said, I'm starting to become on Team Zolak a little bit. Maybe not the way he was calling Kelsey, you know, what he was calling him. But other than that,
I don't know. I mean, what did Zolak do? I mean, he called him pussy.
Yeah, right. But that's not why I don't like him. He's starting to annoy me.
Well, he's annoying.
Because you know what? It almost seems like he's, as I said, he is the Hydrox cookies to Gronk's Oreos.
All right. Richard Sherman, that is a factor against the 49ers.
Yeah. But Richard Sherman's kind of a lovable douche. You know, like he's such a douche that it's not like douchey cheesy. It's douchey like vindictive.
Yeah, but Kelsey wins that in a walk.
Oh, no, I know.
Between the two of them.
But Richard Sherman, at one point, he was like really good and talked all this, and then he became like just mediocre, and then it just started to sound dumb.
I don't know. That whole thing he did with, what's his name? The guy who lifts weights on TV, Skip Bayless, where he just said, I'm better at life than you, and just ripped it. That was pretty great. That was a great moment.
I won Kansas City. 49ers do nothing for me. There's no one on their team that stands out to me. I don't like the Boses. Go ahead.
I understand what you were telling about Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid wins this game, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Like, there's right?
I think he's in the Hall of Fame without
it. It's weird. Yeah. Well, again, the standard has been, I don't know about lowered, but I mean.
He's a
Cower and
Cower.
Johnson both in. I mean, he already has more career wins than Cower. The only thing he doesn't have is the Super Bowl.
Right.
Cower had one Super Bowl
Cower
win.
Coached for, 15 years?
Yeah.
And that's it.
He's
seven, I think. Andy, number seven on all-time regular season
the
wins.
The thing is with Andy Reid, his record in conference championship games was ugly until yesterday. I think it was 1-5 or something like that. And so here
By
he
way,
is.
Cower's record in conference championship games was not good either.
That's right. He kept running into the Patriots for a while. But yeah, Reid, if there's ever a question, Reid has over 200 career wins. If there's even a question about Andy Reid's candidacy, if he wins this game, he's in.
The only way that if the 49ers lost, it would be really funny is if they were up by a ton. Let's say the score was 28-3. And then Kansas City came back, and then you've got Shanahan standing on the sidelines of both of those epic comeback losses.
Well, that's
the
thing, is that both of them really need this Super Bowl to sleep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's true. Right, I mean, because they both have ghosts, they both have demons when it comes to not only the Super Bowl, but I mean, you have to think, if you're Shanahan, you get some sort of lead, you're starting to just, like, flip out. Like, yeah. You're like, oh, my God, please don't let this happen
and
again.
And by the way, you're facing an offense that is...
Could do that, and did that 2 weeks ago.
Well, could do that easily.
Yep.
Scored touchdowns in 7 straight drives 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, I mean,
this
is not the Patriots' offense. No. I mean, this is an offense that can score at will.
No, they're the Golden State Warriors of football.
Right.
It's just out of nowhere, they can just... It doesn't matter how far down they are.
They're so athletic. They're so fast.
And Mahomes is just... I mean, he's a wizard. So...
And by the way... A second thing I like about Kansas City is I think if Mahomes was drafted by almost any other team, he wouldn't be what he is now.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. He was perfect for Andy Reid's system.
No, I think Andy Reid made him a star. I don't think his second year in the league, he's a star. Third year in the league, he's a star, if it's not for Andy Reid. All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll see. You probably got a good chance of winning. Considering the day it is.
You'll be all 10 callers.
Yeah.
Just keep calling back.
Just keep calling again and again. You'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Memphis Grizzlies this Wednesday from Rafters. The all-new members-only area on Level 9 at TD Garden. Go to tdgarden.com/rafters to learn about a Rafters membership. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Once again, thank you to everyone who came out to Pucks and Paddles. It was a blast on Friday night. $125,000 raised for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children. Thanks to, of course, all the Bruins who are participating in that, all the people who end up bidding. There was, at the end of Friday's show, a phone call from one John from Vegas. He is the Sarge Sucks fame, who got on all the national shows and... at last year's Pucks and Paddles, ended up hiring a ringer to play with Mark Bertrand to win the entire thing. And at the end, ended up going up there with a giant Sarge Sucks sign, and it was quite the scene.
Then a drunk Sarge came up. And
then Sarge
babbling.
Started talking into the mic, and it was really weird. And so when John Vervegas said that he was finding a way to Pucks and Paddles, on Friday I was like, I've got nothing to do with any of this. And
And
John Vervegas did end up showing up. He didn't do anything publicly. He, I think, was interviewing people. I don't know what was going on. But the one thing I did see was that, as you know, Joe Murray, member of the Kowloon crew, he is good friends with Sarge and will defend Sarge to the death. I admire that in him. He loves Sarge. And John from Vegas ended up at the Pucks and Paddles getting absolutely undressed by Joe Murray's wife. Joe Murray's wife was so in his face that it just made everyone like form a circle around just so they could listen. And John from Vegas is a guy who likes to defend himself. I mean, he was getting crushed by her, and to the point where Joe Murray just stood back and just started laughing as if this wasn't the first time this had happened.
Yeah, the two of them have got to be. First of all, my wife was very fond of Joe Murray's wife.
Oh, my wife loves her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I can only imagine the two of them together.
Yeah.
A lot of conflict.
Oh, my gosh. It was awesome.
A lot of conflict.
So she was just ripping into, you know, it's like, if you ever say that about Sarge, blah! And so John from Vegas ends up going away. And then at one point I turn around and he's back and she's ripping into him even worse the second time. So John from Vegas has actually tweeted and he said, find someone who loves you like Joe Murray's wife loves him. She told me if I ever screw with Joe or Dan Lifshatz, she would end me. And I'm inclined to believe her.
Thank God she likes me. Jesus.
She also said some stuff about Sarge, but I think I was texting and missed most of it.
I mean, but does that...
So God bless her, man.
I mean, like I said, my wife is a big fan, but does that, her defending Sarge that much, is that a positive or a negative?
Like, for who?
For her.
I thought it was great. Unless it was great. Like, just that she's got that kind of loyalty.
To Sarge?
The best is that Joe Murray just sat back and smiled and laughed.
No, we had a conversation about that. He said, once she gets going, it's pretty wise to just stand to the side and let her go. Joe is very aware of the trouble he could get into if he stepped in and interrupted.
Joe is no shrinking violet.
No,
so the two of them together.
Yes.
Because we tried to go out and get food with them afterwards, but... Everywhere had like 40 minutes of waiting time, and I didn't feel like waiting. I would imagine the two of them can get it started pretty good.
It was great. And Joe Murray hanging out with the Bankroll Boys t-shirt, just so in case you didn't recognize
his wife.
Him.
His wife had a Bankroll Boys t-shirt.
Of course,
t-shirt
she
on.
She's proud of her husband.
You got to promote the product. Yep. You got to promote the product. But someone did put something on the Toucher and Rich. I think Rich tweeted it out. Of a beer in Joe Murray's hand. And it looked like Andre the Giant holding a beer.
Yeah, because I never noticed that, too. I guess Joe Murray does have pretty big hands.
Joe's a big boy. Yep.
But and you're right. I mean, I don't think the can was abnormally small. It just made it look like, you know.
No. It just
like a toy.
So, because it was like, oh, Fred, you look like you're going to die. You're ugly. You're fat. And then it was like I'm like, okay, yeah. And then there was Joe Murray's hand holding the beer. And I'm like,
and they were putting it right next to the Andre the Giant thing.
And then I'm like, oh, my God, this is so fantastic. All right. I don't know what's coming up next, but I'm told that I will enjoy it. It has been held secret from me, even from Mike Lockhart. So we will find out what it is in less than 2 minutes. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.